Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your host at the 1973 podcast, and this is my heterosexual life mates right here on the podcast. We'll be touching base on that quote during the movie of the week. I said heterosexual life mates, Thomas. You gotta know the movie quote. We're talking
Just
about it this week.
proven.
So here we go.
Oh
Edward, you know how we do it. We always start with a great segment, one watch everybody knows the rules, was the
That's
fan's
right.
pick. So Ed, take us in.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you are a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality
Top
and
notch.
that timeless style, top-notch. The style you crave. Perfect for lounging in the home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And check us out at the 1973 podcast t-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
All right,
Boom, boom.
Edward.
Yes.
Good lead in as always. Don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Stole that from the
That's right.
NWO commercials back in the day. You know, you know.
We can cut past that one. That one's it's great. I definitely like it better than this one, but that's not what we're talking about. Now this movie is just a fun movie. It's one of those like you're having a bad day. Let me throw it on and have some challenge.
It's just funny to see Silent, Jay and Silent Bob. It really just kind of brought me back today of, basically when the three out of the four of us that are above me on the podcast as I speak, this is something that we would have watched here about ready to creep up and jump them, and then they backed off, and they're like, and then they had the shotgun blast. That was pretty funny. I'm gonna give it the old Howie Long number, so I'm gonna go with a 7.5.
All right, we're gonna go to the youngest member of the group, Bradford, Jay and Silent Bob.
Bang. Seen Clerks? Do you know what they're talking about? Oh, that's Mark Hamill. That's Carrie Fisher. They're from Star Wars, And my friends are like, shut up, nerd. But Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith has always been a big comic book fan. So like it was ironic and awesome at the same time that he made this movie, because this was like a parody of comic book superhero movies before they wrecked Hollywood. Like this movie was way before its time, because when did this come out? Like 2000 something?
I think 2001.
2001. So like way before the Hollywood, Marvel, Disney bamboozlement of the movie industry. Your mannerisms remind me of four other homers that I know. I'm not gonna tell y'all which one you are. You gotta figure it out. But I was like, this is why they love this movie so much.
Now I feel bad because I'm starting to become the mean teacher because my grade's not quite as high as you guys now. But
Just
I
be
thought it was
honest.
great. And when I went back and watched it, I didn't realize how many people had cameos in this thing. And it's all people from his own movie, so it's all friends of his. But I mean, George Carlin, the guy's a comic legend. I mean, he had a very short scene, but a very memorable. But there's not much more I can add to what you guys said except that, when I went back and looked for, like, I always try to find a fun fact. This is a top four movie for F-bombs dropped. It's
Yep.
number four behind Eddie Murphy Raw. Eddie Murphy's Raw did 224, and this movie did 219. So it was pretty. They were right there. I mean, Kevin Smith needed to step it up just a hair more, like two more lines. I think they would have passed it. But I gave it a 7.3, and I thought I was going low, and then I got Darren's score, and Darren gave it a 7.1.
All right, so where do I bring this
But
whole
this
thing
is
home?
it's still a seven, though. I mean, like 7 out of 10, it's still a pretty good movie. You
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, it's entertaining. Like I think that the five of us would agree that if this was on TV and all this, you're like, I could be doing something else, but I'm just going to sit here and watch this because
Not
it's
regular TV.
entertaining.
This movie you cannot watch on
No,
regular TV.
no. And no, this is destruction if it was on regular TV, you
Yeah,
know?
you need all the comedy gold. I mean, quotable. I mean, what's up,
Yes.
Lunchbox? The random slapstick stuff, like Abbott and Lou Costello kind of stuff going on, all little homages to stuff that you the are in the know and get. I mean, that whole Kevin Smith universe that sided with Clerks. He always says he's never seems to get dragged into it. I'm expecting more as the years go on. He always says never, but there is a niche audience that's his age bracket that loves these movies, and they kind of geared towards that Gen X. These are Gen X movies. You got to agree. They're total Gen X movies from the pop culture references, just the dialogue alone. It's like the thing that I love about Kevin Smith's movies is you get the dialogue the way you get the dialogue in the Tarantino movies. They're very dialogue driven movies with the jokes thrown in there. And if you're not Gen X, I don't think you grasp the whole thing. Awesome cast in this movie. Tom and Brad touched on it, but let's talk about the hotness factor. Who was in this movie at the time that this movie came out? Eliza Dushku, I'm missing
Ali
out.
Lada.
Yeah, Ali Lada, Shannon Elizabeth. They make references to American Pie all throughout the Jason Biggs part, and his future wife is in the movie. She's the one odd person in the group of jewel thieves that ends up being his wife at the time. So, really cool casting. I mean, he threw everything at the screen with this movie, and that I mean, just the machine gun of rapid fire Jay in the movie. It's just one-liners tearing up Silent Bob the whole movie, which is great. And when I go back and watch it, the guy that really had like 5 minutes of really good screen time where he was really funny in the movie was Chris Rock. He really had some really good one-liners in that movie for a really very short stint. He where he kept knocking the coffee out of was it a whose hand was handing him the coffee? Who was the guy? He had an MTV show for a little while there. I forget.
But that was a funny scene where
Oh, I forget his
he
name.
goes, "Give me a blonde kid so I could really enjoy this." That was funny.
Jamie Kennedy.
I mean, it
Oh yeah,
was funny. I
Jamie
mean, like,
Kennedy. That's
you
who it
got it.
was. Yeah, it was Jamie Kennedy.
But I think, Andrew, to kind of piggyback on you, like, this is humor that people from our generation find funny and don't find offensive.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
This is
I think if you put this into, in a rotation for it with the NC-17 or an R rating in front of like the younger generation, people would get kind of offended by a lot of things that were said on that movie,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
you
Absolutely.
know. So definitely would put people on notice about that, you know. I thought it was pretty funny with the Scooby-Doo scene too. That was pretty funny.
This world definitely needs more click commanders.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The part with
Yeah.
the part with the
Thank you, Ryan, for taking that ball.
yeah. I mean that this is definitely a movie that you could talk about a lot of parts, but you'd probably get yourself in trouble talking about some of the stuff. So, and we can only use so many F-bombs on this algorithm, as Brad mentioned in previous podcast. So my diatribe is done with this movie. I'm going to give it a 7-7. When the Phantom mentioned his score, I was like, yeah, right on. So pretty much in the ballpark with most of these. So Thomas,
Did
give
Shaggy
it.
give you a score?
Shaggy did not give me a score, but
Okay.
he did give me his movie for next week. So you're going to have to give us a drum roll, please.
Hold on.
That was a
Oh,
pretty shitty drum roll.
hold on. Wait a minute.
7-5.
7-5.
Ooh.
Not a bad score for this movie, considering, where the baseline with these comedies for the classic comedies is around 8-1, old school. Our Cannonball Run score was in the seven somewhere, I believe. And
You want to know
Slasher.
what IMDb scored it?
Go ahead, Bradford.
6.8.
Ooh.
So
Coming out.
we're a
Coming
little
out.
off,
Yeah,
fellas.
well, I mean, Some of those people that scored Atsy Fatsy, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Brad, what do you think of a 7.5 score for Jay and Silent Bob? That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah. You got to
Well,
be into the lore, and you guys know I'm big on lore.
well, I mean,
Guys
there
that
were so
watch
many
this and
Star Wars
scored it
references
low,
in there, it wasn't
no
even
Rogue
funny.
One.
yeah, the guys in the sixes that scored this in the sixes, they probably don't even know about Clerks and Mallrats or Dogma. They don't even know. You know
Well,
what I'm
they're getting
saying?
so old that if they do a new one, it's going to be like Jay and Silent Bob take on Ozempic or something because Kevin Smith lost so much
Yeah.
weight that
And
You know,
that low scores from all the girlfriends that got dragged to it.
That's what it was.
Well, they could probably do some really good jokes about his weight loss too if they ever went back and did some more
Oh,
stuff. But there's so
hey,
many.
I definitely like my Kevin Smith with full of cholesterol.
Yeah, they can't do another one because they like the whole premise of Jay and Silent Bob is like my rotund love partner. He was always making like large gay jokes towards the guy. Now you can't because
Right,
now they're
right.
both super duper skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jay's skinny because he had
Heart
a substance
attack.
abuse problem, didn't he?
Well,
Oh,
yeah, I
yeah.
think he had like a
Like,
heart attack or some shit, and he had to
yeah.
lose weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like all great comedians, when they lose the weight, they're no longer funny. Just like when rock stars get clean and they get sober, they're no longer good.
Well, that's a good point, too.
The
When I
double-edged
was
sword.
watching this, and I'm looking at Jay and I'm thinking to myself, is Matt Riddle a straight ripoff of Jay?
Kind
Pretty
of.
dang close.
Oh, I hadn't watched the movie in so long, and I'm watching it, and it was like one of the first things I thought of when he was talking. I'm like, oh yeah,
Pretty
the
dang
whole
close.
stoner thing.
Yeah.
But Jay's way more funny.
Way
Oh,
more.
yeah. But Matt Riddle's a better wrestler than Jay, so it balances.
I don't want to see the two cross over into the other genre. Let's just say
Yeah.
that.
They could be
So.
heterosexual love partners.
That's a tongue twister, Brad. I'll let you stick with
I'll give that one a 4.2.
that one. That's a very athletic son you have there hanging off the railing, you know.
So Shaggy wasn't here this week, so I got his pick. Homework for next week, staying with the comedy theme, another movie that I absolutely love. Talk about quotable, probably one of the last newer good comedies that they've made, Step Brothers.
Step bro,
Oh
yeah.
yeah.
Are
Oh
we just
yeah.
gonna go through the whole Will Ferrell Rolodex?
Listen, I'll get to it, but one of my favorite scenes is that first scene with Dale and his father when they're talking about what happens when she moves in. That is with the reaction on the father when he starts talking. Love it. I love it. So next week we'll be down at the Cheesecake Factory if you need us.
Yeah.
You smell like bourbon and cheesecake.
So let's move on and start talking about we don't have any haters this week to dumb down the wrestling like they do in a way, but I think it's 3 years strong now. We've been reviewing Dark Side of the Ring, always
Yes.
on. So first week, let's talk Dark Side. Going into our wrestling segment. Now, see, we got some false information here before we start talking about this. It was supposed to be a Mick Foley episode, but it ended up being a freaking Hell in a Cell kind of episode. Let this go.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I think you meant the opposite. I think
I
you
think I
thought it was a Hell in a
disagree.
Cell thing and it was Mick Foley.
Either way, I didn't enjoy it. It's all. For me, it's the same stuff. If you want to watch something like this that I think is a little better, watch Beyond the Mat. It gives you more, and it's a little bit more darker. But thoughts on? Let's go with Ed. Ed, what's your thoughts on the first episode of Dark Side?
I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. That they couldn't they didn't have Taker on there at all. Like they had him do a phone interview basically. Like they couldn't get him on there. Come on, man. I mean that was an iconic, epic match. I did think, and some of the stuff, I think that anybody that read his book he kind of this was kind of like a paying homage to his family, you know, with his kids there and everything like that. And I mean, it was a it, what did the episode flow? Yes, it did it. But I mean, it just it didn't add anything extra of stuff that if you didn't watch the Mick Foley or the Undertaker special that they had on A&E a few years back, there wasn't anything new. It was just it was the same thing, just kind of regurgitated. You know, and the thing about it is that honestly, like if you've ever read, I mean, I've only read one of his books, but I mean, Mick is really an entertaining guy. Let him take control. And let him talk about it, you know, because it really resembled the first couple minutes, really resembled the A&E special that they did. I mean, would I watch it again? Yeah. You know, did it provide me with anything new that I knew about? No, I already knew all that stuff, you know. So, I mean, it was entertaining, but that was about it.
Bradford?
I learned some things in this episode. I learned that Mick Foley has the good kind of CTE. Like, he's not like the abusive, saying wild, you know, crazy Antonio Brown type of CTE. His way outkicked his coverage on the wife. I was like, are you kidding me? That's your wife? Are they still together?
Yes.
Like,
Yeah,
what? And
that's away from
then,
the early days too.
like, I
He's only
mean,
been
dude must
married
be
once.
like, dude's gonna have like a third leg. And then, like, his daughter is a smoke show, and I was like, "Holy crap, man! What is Mick Foley doing? Like, great genetics, bro." But nothing about this episode was new information. I don't know what was so dark about it. It's just like, hey, here's a Hell in a Cell match, the greatest Hell in a Cell, maybe one of the greatest matches the WWE ever did, and here's the backstory. Me and Lucas are watching the show on Prime. It's like A&E, WWE Treasure Hunters, and they go around finding WWE relics and artifacts from history. And in the same vein, like Mick Foley's in it, like several episodes, and I feel like that show was just as good as Dark Side of the Ring at this point. Like, there's no more like I wanted like the deep, dark, nitty-gritty stuff. And it's like Ed said, man, if you saw a documentary on A&E, like they're just kind of regurgitating the same stuff at this point. Like, I think they've already done all the dark, like really trim stuff that we all want to see and hear, and like now there's nothing left, so they're kind of going into the well for stories we've already heard 100 times.
Brad, I'm gonna piggyback on that, but I think they could have flipped it. If they had done a lot more about his time as Cactus Jack in the territories, I think that would have been much, much better. Bang bang, you know? So I think that if they had done that, I think it would have been much better. That's my opinion.
I
They
mean,
should do a
how?
whole episode next season 7, episode 1, AEW Dynamite. When MJF gets the baseball bat and nails in his back, that's going to be the next episode.
Thomas, thoughts on your boy Mick Foley in first
I
episode of
think
Dancer?
this was a sad episode to watch, just seeing what his body looks like now. And I think that was like the underlying theme. And hopefully some of these younger wrestlers watch it and think about it. Is the risk worth the reward? I mean, because how much he put his body through for to get over and to get a push. And ultimately, is it worth it when you are in the shape he's in now, where we've seen him walking around when we've gone to Comic Cons and stuff, and he's got a permanent limp. And he's in really bad shape. I feel bad for him. So I hope guys like, I mean, Jon Moxley's not a younger guy, but I hope he watches this and starts thinking in his head that, hey, if you want to have quality of life when you're older and retired, that you need to protect yourself a little more. But I thought that once again, I thought Jim Cornette was awesome in this. Just he just doesn't give a shit. He doesn't have a he's not in the game as much anymore, so he tells it like he sees it, and I thought he was great on the just overall theme of it.
They needed to do a dark side on Jim Cornette.
Well, it wouldn't be a dark side really, because his stuff's
No.
usually, yeah, he just more of a good deep dive biography on him. And
Yeah.
because he's
Yeah.
the thing I like
He's
about
an
him, and
entertainer, man.
not to get away from the episode, is he's like an Uber fan too. You
Yeah,
know,
very much so.
he's a historian, a collector. He protects the business. He calls people out on their bullshit. So that's what I respect about him. And that his shoot interviews are great if you have 13 hours of your time for 4 hour episodes of the shoot interviews. But Phantom, thoughts on the first episode of Dark Side?
I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I kind of would agree with what Tom said. It was kind of get me in my feelings when I was watching it. To
You
some
have
about
those?
Mick Foley, that he's so likable that like w when you're watching it, it's like when Tom said, like, you watch stuff and you feel bad for somebody. But when I was watching that, like, I really felt bad for him. It was like this guy had to put himself through all of that just to, if he never had that match, he would never get that world title. That match just leapfrogs him through everything. And then when they kind of went to the I Quit match after the fact, and he'll tell The Rock, like, hey, don't be afraid to hit me with a chair, and the Rock's just wearing him out the whole match, just taking all those shots for, like, I don't want to say for no reason, because that was kind of his thing. I think he just wanted to keep raising his bar a little bit at a time, just to see his daughter's reaction now in a retrospective of. She said that she couldn't even really remember the stuff when it was happening, but to watch it now, to see everything that he sacrificed for the family and for where he ended up being in his career, I think came a long way. I came away from it. I liked it. That was good. I thought it was good.
The thing about the 11 chair shots in that I Quit match was a good thing. Watching it multiple different times over the course of, whatever. Good thing he had that leather mask on, because I think it took away from some of the actual blunt trauma with that being in certain spots on his head. I don't think he did he get the whole chair? Yeah, but was there something at least there, like on his head? Yes, but the one that, if you go back, they showed it. The one that's a tough thing is the one that The Rock gets him going up the aisle from behind.
Yeah.
That's the one that it's like, oh man, I can, the ones that come in from, even though you're handcuffed or whatever with your hands behind your head, but behind your back, but that one from behind, he waffled him in the back of the head. So, yeah, is it a Dark Side episode though? Or is it more of a biography, or is the Dark Side the CTE, or the what do you think?
I guess the Dark Side is just him sacrificing pretty much everything for the fans, or for his own gain, to like, look what this guy had to do to himself just to get over, where some other wrestlers don't have to do half of that. It was like he was all about the wrestling, and then this is what he went through just to get to the top. Where who's doing it? Who else is doing that?
Well, I mean, my thing is that I would have liked to have seen the stuff that he did in AEW, when he was talking about his kid, when he really almost, like, pretty kind of almost legit freaked out on the mic, I mean, back in the day. I mean, that would have been kind of more of the dark side if you had incorporated that when it was in AEW and the Cactus Jack stuff. I think that would have been like more of a dark side kind of perspective. I mean, don't you think? I mean, this kind of just kind of was a, I'd say, like, an accessory piece to his biography with the A&E special. That's my opinion.
I mean, the one gripe I say it every year when they do these dark sides, and I think I've already mentioned it, is do them when the guys are still alive, because you see the Mick Foley one with Mick Foley in it. It's different. It would have been done different if he wasn't available to do it. So they, I mean, they had all those years to do the superstar Billy Graham one, and that's the one that really bugs me, that they waited till after he kind of passed to do the dark side, which is coming this season. So that one and the Billy Jack Haynes are the ones I'm really looking forward to. Thomas, any preview for next week's Dark Side of the Ring? Do you know which one it is yet?
Yeah, you're gonna have to twist my arm to watch it. It's on Ludwig Borga.
Oh, come on, you gotta watch it. You never know. Those are the ones that you go into expecting not so much, and you get a lot of
I might have to
content.
cliff note that one.
Those are usually the best ones.
That's what I'm
Watch it,
saying.
watch it. That'll be the one we're like, oh shit. Who knew it?
Brad, real quick, do you want to talk about this week's Raw and SmackDown stuff and how they're pushing the main event to certain individuals? You want to touch on that?
Yeah, it's definitely CM Punk, Roman Reigns. I don't know, and Seth Rollins. I don't know which one pulled the strings to get it, but according to SmackDown this past Friday, the main event closer for night two is going to be the triple threat, basically feud match here between those three guys. And so now a lot of folks are asking, like, where does that leave Cody Rhodes and John Cena? Where does that leave Jey Uso and Gunther? Like actual two title matches, but instead we're getting a grudge match with no title. I mean, it's going to be a great match. They're going to put on a show. Is that main event worthy, especially over John Cena potentially breaking Ric Flair's record? Now, if they're not putting Cody and John Cena as the main event, that pretty much tells me Cena's not winning that. Like, I even heard rumors months ago that Cena and Cody Rhodes was going to be, or not months ago, weeks ago, whatever, but there was going to be the like one of the early matches of the night. And you know, whenever they load that championship match, you know, Cody and Logan Paul, it's the first match of the PLE. You know, the title's not changing in the first match. It's just a squash match, man. It's kind of a waste of people's time, money for this. Like, why are we even doing this? Like, make it mean something. That's why Cody's title run has been so boring, because the matches haven't meant shit, even when he did defend it. And now we're about to get a WrestleMania where I don't think there's a chance in hell that John Cena wins this. Like, I'm for real. And then now you got Randy Orton coming out here, and he's saying he's already cutting a promo on Cody, you know, saying, "Hey, when you're done beating John Cena, I'm coming for you." I don't think he's breaking. If Cena breaks Flair's record, it's not going to be against Cody Rhodes.
Ric Flair is telling people he's going to be there, so.
Yeah, he's not, man. It's not going to be Cody. It's just not going to happen, dude. If they're not billing this as like the biggest main event type thing, I just don't see it, man. When the main event is going to be a grudge match, fun match, not main event material. Like, I have issues with that. I think it's going to be a not that spectacular WrestleMania. But after last year's WrestleMania, they set the bar so high. Maybe they're trying to like reset and like temper our expectations for future WrestleManias, because they can't keep that tempo year after year. You know what I mean? I
They
don't know.
can't. I think they
I don't
can, Brad.
know. Can
I
they?
really, yeah, I
If
think so.
Stone Cold shows up at this Mania, all will be forgiven.
That's all you want is for Stone Cold to show up. I could think of better scenarios to push that story over the
I could
top.
just look, I could see Cody and The Rock getting into it, and Cody like almost turning heel, and then like the glass breaks, and Stone Cold, oh, open a can of whoop ass. You know what I mean? Like,
What do you
to
think
come,
this is,
because,
Super Brawl 92?
yeah, because like, who fought corporate WWE more than Stone Cold Steve Austin? And now The Rock is corporate. Cody's about to go corporate. Like, who fought that more? You know what I mean? And then I saw another like fan theory where like Cody beats John Cena and then like winks at the camera or some shit and is like in it all along with The Rock, and they pull like a double switch at the end. So I don't know.
And I'm going to let you jump in for a second because I'm stewing on something, but go ahead.
So I'm just totally jumping in kind of blind here. So what you're telling me is that Cody
You're going to
Rhodes
watch
is,
WrestleMania.
no, that's not going to happen. So Cody
Good
Rhodes
night.
is wrestling John Cena. Is that correct? And that's for the title. And Ric Flair is going to be there.
That's what he's telling people.
How about Ric Flair jumping in and being the dirtiest player in the game to stop Cena from winning?
No.
How about that?
Too old.
No,
It'd be great.
no.
Well,
That would be awesome if they did that like 5 years ago.
I'm just saying. And then a triple threat match. That is the worst match in professional wrestling ever. Like, seriously, and that's going to be the main event? That's terrible. It's the best you can do. Get it out of here.
So, Ed, they've gone 2 nights with WrestleMania now. It's two nights, two main events. But
Morris, you
they
make me sick when you speak.
listen, I'm gonna tell you this. A lot of
Oh,
these fanboys that watch wrestling now have no premise of what draw our money means. Long-term storytelling. These are the people that have to know before they know. It's like going into the bookstore and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna buy this book. What's the ending?" It just doesn't make sense. So these people that are fantasy booking and all that other stuff, you're fired. Yeah, Brad, you're fired off the fantasy booking. You're gone. No Stone Cold coming back. Yeah, if you want,
no.
you gotta pop. You gotta get a cheap pop. Get Goldust back as the third member.
That
It's
is a
not
nice pop.
happening. He's
That's
under
not happening.
contract. It's not happening.
Andy, this was your opportunity for your Brock Lesnar. You say it every pay-per-view.
You say it every week. I want Goldust and Brock Lesnar. Goldust still under contract. Brock Lesnar's never coming back, bro.
No.
Never.
Oh, you guys
But
kill me. Take it away, Phantom.
let me explain this. Who are your three biggest stars in WWE? Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns,
And
CM Punk.
Joe Hendry
Joe Hendry,
via
way over here.
TNA. Via TNA is the biggest star in WWE.
Those guys, this thing's turning almost like into real sports. When CM Punk came in, that main event thing is probably on paper for him. Roman Reigns has to be in the main event too. So as soon as that world title match goes one way, and there's two nights, you already know that they're like, "Oh, we're gonna make this a triple threat just because we have to be able to put them all in the main event all together." So those
That's
guys are gonna be there, and I think throwing Rollins in there is a cookie for him because he's always a good soldier to lose to all these tough guys. As far as Gunther and Jey Uso goes,
an opening match.
I was just gonna say, I think that's gonna open one of the nights, maybe the second night. And I do got some
Oh.
a little bit of booking that Andy will like. What do you think of this one? Now that they're throwing Jimmy into the mix, how would you like to see Jimmy and Jay pulling off the Killer Bees-esque Hebner thing where Jimmy somehow does something and he gets the pin to get his brother the belt?
Very cool.
Work with
That,
me.
wait, wait, wait.
Work with me.
You're talking about some Bella Twin magic.
Under the ring, whatever you want to call it. They look wearing the sweatshirts, so like who knows? Pull the switcheroo.
1989 just called and said that's not happening.
It probably won't, but maybe it should.
I like it. I like it. Very, very, very good there, Phantom. That's a trained eye, as they say in the business. Trained eye.
Hey, I tell you what, when he smacked Gunther, he smacked the shit out of him.
Smacked the shit out of him, bro.
Well, hold on a minute.
Slapped him in the next week.
Did you see Gunther chop CM Punk and he hit and he was already tapping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo, child. Woo, baby.
See, you might not like the persona of Gunther, but if that guy puts his hands on you, that's some old school. You're gonna know
It's
that that
over.
guy's head is. I'm just saying. Don't piss guys like that off because legit, they get their hands on you, you're gonna end up as a pretzel. That's what's missing in wrestling. That's guys like that. There's not enough of them, and I don't know. I'm not gonna bring up the Brock Lesnar again coming back. But wouldn't that be a really cool match, the two of them going at it?
I think they should have kicked freaking Rollins out and put Brock Lesnar in there and let it be all the Heyman guys and let him pick which one he's gonna freaking go with.
That would be a match. That's
Ooh,
worth
ooh.
watching.
You just popped
Ooh,
Brad.
give me
He
the
just said he's gonna buy tickets.
money.
Asses in seats, Brad. Asses in seats. So, does that conclude our wrestling talk for this week? Hey, Tom, you
One
want to
other
add
thing
any news?
I thought it was pretty cool with Drew McIntyre doing the thing where him and CM Punk kind of crossed paths and they CM Punk kind of laughed at him because he was having trouble. And Drew McIntyre on Twitter wrote, "That was real glass, and I got some in my eye doing
Oh,
the
he
whole
did.
AEW."
He
Yes, he did.
when he hit the south of heaven through the windshield,
Yeah.
and I watched it back to see if it was just a work. You could see like a fleck. And I was like, oh, he really did get out glass in his eye. And then he took a jab at him, which, like Tom said, it was hilarious.
Yeah. I don't think in Ed's point, I don't think SummerSlam should go 2 nights. I think you should just load one
No.
night of the
One
stack
night.
card and let everybody just see the if you're not good enough to be on the card, they should not do any charity work with putting you on the bill. So
It should be a big blow-off. That's what WrestleMania should be. It should be
yeah.
one night, complete blow-off from everything, and a complete reset and start new feuds there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's the end of their
That's how you
fiscal
story tell.
year for booking.
Yeah.
That's their.
Yes.
But I do think that something big is going to come out of that three-way main event. That's why it's the main event. Because
Yeah, it's
Punk
still
is.
stupid, Eddie. Punk literally says on Friday, he's like, "Thanks for the main event, dream come true." He looks at Heyman and he's like, "But that's not the favor you owe me."
Right.
Now, one thing we're getting out of this, CM Punk has been cutting historic level promos all year, dude. And Seth Rollins, John Cena, Cody, nobody can come close to CM Punk right now. These promos have been absolute masterpieces. And crying real tears in the ring as he's signing the contract, dude. Like, had me teared up. Like, it was epic. And
Well,
then when he's like, "But that's not the favorite," I was like, "Oh, you know what I mean?"
and he's an uber old school fan. He's one of
Yep.
those guys that protects the business. That so you got to res he brings everything to the table. Everything
Everything.
about him is the business as a whole, the history of it, the tradition of it. So that's why he didn't do well in AEW with the guys, because they just don't want to listen. And how much of a shit show is AEW right now? It's terrible. The
Tony
ratings are
Storm.
Tony
I
Storm.
don't know. The Thunder Tits promo was pretty
Tony
legit.
Storm, boys. So
That
good.
is she like the best thing going in women's wrestling right now?
By far, not even close.
By far, dude. Do you think AEW is like, "Yo, we're tanking even to NXT," where they were like, "Tony Storm, just say what you want, dude. Say what you want on the mic. Like, we'll pay the fine."
She's a great promo, really good in the ring.
Yeah.
Liz the gimmick. When she kayfabes through those press
Yep.
conferences, which I love. I mean, stay in character, live that gimmick and make everybody believe it even more. So
All the
that's
stuff she's doing, if she was in WWE, she couldn't do any of it.
no.
Right. She'd be in NXT as a mid-carder.
If somebody said Thunder Tits on WWE, bro. That would be something, bro.
Did you see Thunder Rosa's face
I
when
was
she
gonna
said
say Thunder Roses didn't even know that was coming because she was
had
like,
no idea.
it?
Awesome. That was good.
Thomas, you want to add?
Yeah, one more wrestling thing. I mentioned Kamala last week for the Hall of Fame. Another new name I've heard them talking about is Ken Shamrock.
No.
That's the rumor anyway. They haven't announced
Terrible.
anyone new, but
Terrible.
that's the rumor there.
Oh, hey, speaking of Hall of Fame, Tom, I heard, I hope they don't start doing this either. They're going to add a new thing in that they're going to start inducting matches into the
I
Hall of
saw
Fame,
that. Yes.
Randy, whatever.
The first match I heard
Randy
was
Savage versus Ricky Steamboat will go into the Hall of Fame
actually, I
as an
heard that
all-time great match.
the first one I heard, and actually, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that the first one was Bret Hart versus Stone Cold. I think it was the I Quit match.
The
No,
blood.
not the first match I would put in there. No way, not even close. Wouldn't even make my top 10. Out of all the matches in the history of wrestling, that's the one that's going to go in first. No, no freaking way. That's an awful pick. That is a terrible pick. Terrible. Tom, if you had to pick one, would that be the one you would put in?
Would not be the first one, no.
Brad, don't say Hell in a Cell either. I'll kill you.
No.
Good stuff. Francis. What do you got, Braco?
I don't know. It's some of them. It's almost like a movie. If the finish is that good, you remember the finish. Unless you're like a move for move guy, but if you're a move for move guy, you're probably watching AEW. It's the greatest match in WWE history.
I mean, it of
I
course
like
it's
I
gonna.
go like Savage and Steamboat, but it wasn't like the it wasn't that meaningful, I guess you could kind of say, like as far as like in the history of WWE.
Ed, you got one? You got to put in one match as your baseline for the Hall of Fame.
You can't say Hornswoggle versus McMahon.
No.
Oh,
And you can't add a bra and panties match either, Ed, as the first one.
come
No,
on. I was thinking if it's, I don't know, WWF or WWE. I don't know, man. I was thinking like Dusty and Flair in the cage at like what was it? Starrcade 85.
The WWE would never do that, but they'd probably do
I know,
Hogan
but I
PVD
mean, like
because WWE
if I was
lost.
gonna base like a great match, that would be one of them. You know what I mean? Or War Games with Road Warriors, you know, versus Midnight Express, right? I mean, something like that. I mean, you
Skywalking.
know, I mean, or how about Freebirds versus the Von Erichs, you know, back in like that, those were better matches. They really were.
You put in that main event of WrestleMania 1 just to as your baseline?
Which
I
one?
guess
Steamboat
I
and Flair?
go
I'd go
the first
Andre
one.
versus Hogan, probably.
How about that one? You put in Andre
Oh,
versus Hogan to start your Hall of Fame?
it's like
no.
legendary.
I mean, it's a legendary match, but there were no moves that were actually done. I mean,
Half a body slam.
yeah,
Historical.
well, but the thing about it is, it wasn't, if you go back through wrestling lore, it wasn't the first time that Andre's ever been slammed.
No, Vince
So,
McMahon says it was. That's all that matters.
bro.
That matters. Brad, you got a pick?
I'll give a recent one. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell from a few years ago when he had the torn pec. I think that was a hell of a match.
I thought you would go and finish the story.
That's obvious. Like I would put that in, that's obvious. But that torn pec match, I think just speaks volumes on Cody Rhodes' work ethic and everything. So
I'm just gonna say this. And that match, I'm not talking about, but some of the WrestleMania matches, some of the wrestling, some of the matches were better at, you know, at TBS Studios at 6:05 on Saturdays than what some of the W some of the WrestleMania matches were. So, you know, just saying.
Just
How about
saying.
when the Undertaker lost? When the streak ended.
That's a shocker.
That's gonna go in there. I mean, for
So it's
sure.
only going to be one a year, Tom? Is that the rumor?
As far as I've heard, yeah.
That's good. That's good. At least there's some spacing to it that people can disagree or be like, yeah, it deserves to be in. So that's a great talking point going forward, though, don't you think?
That's one of those ones half an hour after we're done doing this, we're gonna be like, oh shit, I should have said this.
Yeah.
I'm too old to be put on the
Thomas, speaking of being put on the spot, it's your time.
All
Time
right.
to do some Tom Shitty picks.
All right. Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So last week I gave the my predictions for the Cy Young for, in both leagues. This week I'm going with rookie of the year picks. I'm going with AL. I'm a homer. I'm going with Christian Campbell. I just have a feeling he's going to be the first one from the Red Sox to win since Pedroia in 2007. National League, it's kind of easy picking Sasaki, so I'm going to go away from him. And even though he hasn't started off very well, I'm going with Dylan Cruz from the Nationals. I just have a feeling that he's going to get playing every day. They're not going to be very good, so he's going to have a lot of no pressure on him, and I think he'll put in a quietly put in a good season.
Thomas, do you have any sports picks or sports ads for this week?
Well, the big news up here anyway is the Pat signing Stefon Diggs to a 3-year, I believe it was, he's getting $26 million a year, I believe. So that was a big news. They actually had the press conference for him last night, and yesterday. He said all the right things and trying to, I mean, kind of comparing Drake May to Josh Allen. I don't see it. I wouldn't go that far, but he's saying the right things anyway.
Well, at least Drake has somebody to throw to now.
Yes.
Bit of a cancer though, no?
That is a very good possibility. That's the only good thing is he's coming off an injury, so hopefully he's a little more humble now.
Ed, anything to add?
I mean, I think it's a very interesting choice to have him go in with Vrabel, because Vrabel doesn't mess around with people. So, that's an interesting pick. But I mean, I think that having Stefon Diggs in that wide receiver room, considering the fact that nobody could catch a ball in that room for pretty much the last past 6 years, on exception of Edelman, I think he may bring, raise the temperature in that room a little bit. And then, just to not be outdone here on something that I'm surprised hasn't been brought up, but there was a firing in the NHL over the last past 24 to 36 hours. And so, normally I love to give people hard times about this one, but the man's a good coach. And, he's one of the last old school guys out there. So I'm gonna kick it to Andy and to give a little heartfelt goodbye to his boy Torts.
Oh, this is a tough one. I am so in a love-hate relationship with my Philadelphia Flyers. This team, let me just tell you, has been what a roller coaster ride of emotions over the years with this crew. This there was a 92-93 team after Dave Poulin and Brian Propp left that Flyers fans say is the worst team in Flyers history, but I gotta tell you, this last two seasons has been absolute dog shit. I always tell the Phantom that it's if you look at a sports franchise, no matter what your sport is, and you say, who is the face of the franchise? When you look at it and you can only say that your head coach is the face of the franchise, you have problems. When it's not about drawing heat to yourself or a polarizing figure or whatever. Or since Claude Giroux left that team, there has not been somebody that has been there to be the face of the franchise, the guy that you know is gonna be with you for the next 10 to 15 seasons, and he is not going anywhere. This is where the problem lies. When they like to blame Hextall, but it's more Chuck Fletcher. He totally ruined that team longer than a rebuild. The thing about the Ed Schneider years when he was alive, that team was never a rebuilding team. That was a every year grinding it out. If we're not making the playoffs, we're taking teams with us, and that is not how they are now. And it's terrible. The product that they put on the ice. Thank God they got Michkov. Hopefully they do right by him. He's other than guys like Lindros, they've never really had a rookie of the year player. So that should tell you about in the lore of that team and all the great players that they've had. They've never had super superstars like that. So I hope that this leads to something bigger. I mean, the guy that I want, everybody knows who I want. If you know me, you know who I want coming home, Rick Tocchet. I mean, that's as fly as legendary as it gets. That's as close to the vest with, Keith Jones and that front office as they could get with getting Tocchet there. I mean, not only is he the right guy for that role, I mean, he's my all-time favorite player. And I mean, just he's a former Jack Adams winner. How epic would it be for them to finally hoist a couple after all these years with him behind the bench? I mean, the list of guys that I would like to see them bring in is really short. It's too bad that Berube's in Toronto because I think he'd be an awesome fit. He was an assistant coach with them for years. I don't know if bringing LaPierre up from Lehigh Valley is the right thing to do. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting off season. It's going to be interesting draft. They're loaded with draft picks. I was going back and forth with Ryan. They're guaranteed a top five pick no matter what. So Is it a deep draft? Who knows? The is that they say it's a deep draft. It sometimes isn't when you look at, 2 or 3 years later removed. So yeah, it's Flyers Nation is mourning the loss of the Tortorella. I think it's just there was some things said in the media that they didn't like. The way he was saying that he was not at the particular point in his career where he was going to change, bluntly put it. And there was some locker room incidents that happened with Cam York at 2 straight games in a row, didn't see the ice not once, once with Tortorella and once the next game. And then I don't know if the guy settled it in the locker room or whatever, but I've never seen a guy play 2 games in a row and sit on the bench and not get one shift. That is absolutely, I have never seen that. And the history of, I don't think it's ever happened in the history of hockey. That's a first. So as far as the rest of the season, it's a wash. I think they've automatically been eliminated. So going into the playoffs, pick a horse that you think is going to be fun to watch and just roll with it, because I think most of the teams, Tom, no Bruins, right?
Nope.
No Blackhawks,
No.
and no Canadians.
Might be
No.
Canadians.
Canadians.
They're close.
Yeah.
And no Philly. So the only guy that's got a team in the game is Brad with his Dallas Stars. He
He doesn't know anybody that plays for him.
knows Jamie Benn.
Jamie Benn. And what's our goalie's name? Otto something?
You're
Otto.
close.
No.
I'm going
Yeah.
to give you
Who?
half partial credit. You got the first
You
three
know what,
letters
Brad?
right.
And we're going to give you credit because he was the backup in the Four Nations this year for Team USA. So credit to you.
What's his name again?
Jake Ottinger.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep.
Otterson.
Yep.
Yep, same difference.
He's not from Sweden.
Ryan, you wanted to add to the Tortorella talk?
Yeah, I'm a Torts guy. He's a great soundbite. Let's just say that if you got a bad team, my team stinks, and then you can't get 2 words out of the coach. So it's like I'm not getting any entertainment anywhere. But no, the thing I think going to kind of what Ed said, Torts is too good of a coach for a team that's trying to like rebuild or retool or whatever they're doing, because instead of kind of almost bottoming out, he's so good of a coach that he's can get them to push in the playoffs, but they don't have a good enough roster to actually make the playoffs. And in the NHL, with that hard cap changes everything, because all there's so much parity, and the way that they do the point system is you're either good or you're better off just stinking. Because the only way you're going to get better is if you only can get better in the draft. And you have to be picking in that top 10 for a good 3 or 4 years to get good players to kind of make a move back up. Where the Flyers have been is they're in that hockey purgatory. They're not good enough to make the playoffs, not bad enough to bottom out to get anybody good. So they're just stuck in that middle ground. And maybe now with Torts gone, I don't know. I guess this the guy that took over Shaw, he's like a guy that a lot of teams have been talking to too. So I don't know if they might just stick with him. And then going back to the thing that you were saying with the defenseman, the reason why they didn't scratch him is because post trade deadline, you're only allotted like 4 moves up from the minor leagues, and they've already used theirs. So it's like they just have to leave them in the lineup and not play, because the only way that you can make that roster move is if somebody gets hurt and it's on like an emergency basis, you could call somebody up. So he was like, it's a discipline thing, but he's just stuck sitting on the bench like it's youth hockey.
They were saying that even though that he doesn't have an absorbent amount of contract, money wise, that every time that those 2 games that he just watched, he was making 19,000 a game to have one of the best seats in the arena.
Good for him. Go get him,
Right?
Cam York,
Yeah.
Michigan.
Michigan. Attitude like it too, though. That's the problem.
You got two different sides of it too. You got the crybaby player people, and then you got the like, all time somebody fucking stuck up to this guy because he's a tyrant. So pick your side.
Old school versus new school. That's what it comes down to. The new
I
athlete
want to say
versus.
too. I think Torts might be at the end of his rope. I don't. He's I think the only way he's getting a job is if it's
No.
a
No,
team
when
that's like should be there and they're not, and bringing him in. He's only good on like 1 or 2 years. He'll give you that boost, but then after a while you're just gonna tune him out because he's too over the top.
What I had heard, Ryan, was when he signed with Philly and they had that initial press conference, he said that Philly was his last
Yeah.
team. He was totally done after whenever that was, but he said that was his retirement team. So maybe it'll just be on. He was on the network, so maybe it'll just come on and be an analyst and be funny on there. You'll get good sound bites off him where he doesn't have to be critical of the team that he coaches. So.
So they were saying since he left, Michkov, 4 points in his last 5 periods played.
Oh yeah.
So the handcuffs are off. So
Yep. Just
yeah,
let them go. Any other sports stuff you want to move on?
just one quick thing. The Phantom sent me something on the Yankees and their bats. You want to talk about that for a second, Ray?
that's it's pretty wild. I guess today the Yankees came out with these. I guess they're league approved. So what they did is they took your regulation wood baseball bat that kind of starts skinny and works its way to the end of the barrel. So these bats are like skinny at the tip, and then the easy Bradford, easy. But down in the middle, you got some girth, Brad. You got some girth on these bats. So today, the Yankees come out, hit 9 home runs. They start off the game back to back to back. 3 home runs on the first 4 pitches thrown, and Aaron Judge hit 3 home runs today. So, but
Wow.
I guess it from what I was reading after the fact, they were saying that multiple teams in the league have these bats. So it's not
Oh.
just a Yankees thing. So I think it's the new baseball cheat code. It beats whether it's the stick'em, the juice, whatever it is, they're banging on trash cans. There's always something in baseball that you can try to get a little cheat in there and put yourself over the top. Who doesn't
Speaking
like the dingers? Chicks love them.
speaking of enhancement products, Bradford, W Energy, Thomas, it's time
Yo.
for some tinfoil hat.
All righty. 1973 podcast is fueled by W Energy, but it wasn't always this way. W Energy was born from humble beginnings. An idea sparked in a small apartment with their founder, Anthony, set out to take on the energy drink giants, aka Big Energy. After trying a big name competitor's product and being disappointed by the taste and poor quality ingredients, Anthony knew he could do better, so he dove deep into formulation, mastering ingredients, flavors, and performance to create an energy drink that works without the jitters, crashes, sugars, artificial dyes, or calories. Dubby launched with just one flavor and reinvested every penny to grow. Now they've crafted 15 plus custom-made flavors enjoyed by thousands of loyal customers every month. So are you ready to break free from Big Energy? Go to www.dubby.gg and use code 1973podcast at the checkout for a 10% off your order. Dubby Energy, no jitters, no crash, just pure focus. Now back to the 1973 podcast.
Brad, are you ready to put on that tinfoil hat and take us to another dimension?
Oh, it's on. It's been on. So this week's tinfoil hat, Project Sunstreak. Nothing new. I think most of us have known about this, the CIA's use of remote viewing. Basically, they put a bunch of nerds in a room and they try to tap into their psychic intellectual ability to remote view and see things out in the world. So if they're like, hey, we want you to find, where the Titanic sunk, and because we need to go get, save Jack off his little door where there was room for him to be on. I don't know why she took the whole door. That's a whole other conversation. But
Well, that's
anyway,
because you're selfish.
yeah, she was selfish, bro. She's like, yeah, anyway, they can remote view into that. And they kind of hit on this Project Sunstreak, in the Ghostbusters movies. Bill Murray was kind of, that was the precursor. Maybe that's where it all came. I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing on TikTok right now is, and this just makes me think about like social media is just Operation Mockingbird and government mind control and psyops, and it's all intertwined, man, because this is an old thing that's made new again in TikTok. But they said the CIA in recently declassified documents found the Ark of the Covenant. That would be huge in every aspect of any religious belief or secular belief. Finding the Ark of the Covenant is groundbreaking. They've been looking for this thing since Indiana Jones. It's
Well, they
huge.
are, it's packed in that storeroom in the box.
It's
I mean, that's
huge.
where it is.
It's huge. And I keep saying it because who famously quotes huge? Donald Trump has a replica of the Ark of the Covenant in Mar-a-Lago. It took 3 years to make the replica. 3 years. And he has it in Mar-a-Lago. Some folks are even being like, that's not even a replica. They think it's the real damn thing, which is wacky to me. It's nuts. This whole story is nuts, which makes it a good conspiracy theory, I guess. But there's nothing here that I'm trying to prove to y'all to make you believe it. It just blows my mind that like these old conspiracies come up, they get put on TikTok. I watched one video, I sent it to Andy, and then within seconds, I got three or four back to back to back to back in my algorithm from different people. Tell me that's not government mind control psyop bullshit. That's how they're getting us, man. You send one video, something you like, and then it is just bang, 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 bang in your algorithm now.
That works with other genres too, Brad.
Super weird, man.
Brad, I just sent you a video on Jake Ottinger.
Enjoy. Y'all just send me a bunch of videos on big booty brides. Just do
Ooh.
that. It's like, nah.
Hey, just like the yak, all you gotta do is close your eyes.
Yeah, just how about just send me videos of heterosexual love partners, life partners.
What you should do is get a replica of like the Ark, but instead, what you really want, big booty broads in your
No, I
garage.
said heterosexual life partners. Schmoozy
A replica
boozies. It's wild, man. Like, it just, you cannot tell me this. And this is the whole conspiracy. It isn't even Project Sunstreak, man. It's just social media is nothing but a psyop, dude. Like, you can't tell me it's not at this point.
I had heard that Ethiopia had had the ark
Heard that.
for a long time. Iraq, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's in a church that's, but it's in a secret location that's guarded at all times, and there's high traces of radiation from the area, and it's in the middle of kind of, a non-radiation area. It's kind of out of the blue to have that amount of radiation, but it's guarded at all times. So interesting point. Do you think if it is true, Brad, that that's where it is?
I've heard it's in Ethiopia, and several times I've heard different conspiracies. Ethiopia, the Middle East. Maybe that's why we invaded Iraq. It wasn't for weapons of mass destruction. It was looking for the Ark of the Covenant. You know what I mean?
Stargate.
Stargate. You know, like it's, who knows, man, at this point. But finding it, like if they found it, the fact that it hasn't just been publicly, I don't know. We're talking about aliens at this point in 2025. And the JFK files and all this other, like why? I don't know, man.
The
I
guy,
don't know.
the thing that's great about it too is when you, anytime whenever they talk about it, the Ark always looks exactly how it looked.
Yeah.
It made it to the Lost Ark. And so I'm sure that readers probably took whatever pictures from that they've had in the past of what it was supposed to look like and recreated it. But everything I see looks exactly like Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's like no difference whatsoever.
Maybe they have the real one. Maybe they just used the real one in the movie.
I have a theory that it doesn't even look like that. That's just my mind
Wrong.
says it doesn't look like that at all.
Wrong Indiana Jones movie.
Yep.
Gotta pick the right cup.
Oh man. Ed, you want to add to this conspiracy this week?
I mean, I think I've heard it that I've heard that it's been in that this it's in that church in Ethiopia, and I'm surprised that if that's where it was, I mean, I'm surprised that the Nazis didn't do a big grab on it back in the day, because they were marching all around Africa back in the mid-30s and early 40s until, basically Montgomery and Patton showed up and decided then to put them back on European soil. So
They made
I
a
don't know.
movie about that.
They did. Yeah, a movie called Patton. Yeah. And it's also World War II in color too. It's actually a pretty good show. BBC did it. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of this stuff, that when stuff like this gets released, what else is really going on in the world that they don't want us to see?
Yeah.
I mean,
Crazy part is
because
when
you talk.
they actually find it and they crack that thing open and there ain't nothing in there but dust.
I mean, my thing is that it's like every time that it seems like that there's something big that's about ready to happen, we start talking about aliens and we start talking about highly sensitive religious artifacts and stuff like that, So it's kind of one of those things that makes you go things that make you go But that's all I got.
Thomas, you want to bring this tinfoil hat full circle and give us your
I don't have anything on this. I think it's not a conspiracy. I think everything Brad said was right. I mean, it's kind of more that was all like facts that he spit out tonight.
Yeah, just the ability to use these people that are have a psychic power to actually transcend, where their location is, and then kind of like put a beam out to where, almost like a homing pigeon and predict where things are. It's bizarre that they've been working on that stuff since what, the 50s, Brad? Yeah. And to actually, from 1988 till now, it's just coming out now that they actually had remote viewed then. I mean, look at the time frame. You're talking 40 years almost with of time before they release that. So, I mean, why now? That's always my first thing is why now?
My question
I
is,
mean,
Andy, if they perfected it in the 80s, do you think they just quit doing it?
no, I think it's way more advanced now.
They're like, oh, hey, we found the
But
Ark of the Covenant, which is a huge discovery. We're going to put a pin in it, fellas. 1988, we're done.
now they probably threw it out with the files that they had went, to land on the moon.
Right? But then it raises a question, right? We suspected weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You're telling me the CIA couldn't sit their dudes down and remote view? Let's see if we that they actually have, you know what I mean? It makes the whole thing seem even more bullshit.
man, who's Derek Goats, man?
If we're going to one thing I'll stick to in the theme of the tinfoil hat segment is what the difference between truth and BS is so like I mean it's such a thin line where you don't know what to believe and like I tell the kids all the time, question everything. Question at school why they don't teach you how to balance your checkbook or teach you how to pay your bills. They'll give you this advanced calculus, but they'll never teach you about, day-to-day stuff. It just that right there, you're set up right from the get-go to be brainwashed by other things that rather than the necessities. Healthy foods, they pump you with crap. I mean, we could go off on a big diatribe on, things that we do wrong as a society. So, Thomas, you want to add anything before we move on to some shout outs?
I got nothing.
Usually the voice of reason in this.
No, I've seen the light. Some of what Brad says has been right.
Oh, you gotta close your eyes. You gotta close your eyes.
Don't look at the light,
Because
Tom.
then
Don't look at it.
it's like Men in Black, where you blink and then you forgot the whole thing. Ed, shout outs this week. Let's start with you.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to everybody. It's always good to see you guys every week, and good to see you, fellas. Just that's all I got.
Phantom, what do you got this week?
Okay, I'm gonna shout out. my son Dylan, because every time he always watches the podcast, he's a regular. He has a beef with the movie segment.
Oh.
It comes into the production of it.
Okay.
He wants to know how come no matter what we rate a movie, it's always 4 stars with the stars.
Well, you can tell the son of the Phantom that the free editing software that I use, that's how it comes up.
Four
There's
point five for everything.
that's it. That's all I can do.
Okay,
So you can tell him
he's like,
that
you
if
guys voted that movie a five, but it says 4 stars.
so if tell him I'll make him a deal. If he buys more swag and gets more involved, I'll be able to up the production value of the podcast. That's why we sell t-shirts and hats. Tell him to buy a mug or something.
So that's code word fuck off, kid.
I'm being nice. I'm being nice. That's what the old on the editing software that we use, which is also free. Free all in caps. That's how it comes up. So if you want me to change the font, let me know. I'll work on that. Thomas, you got a shout out this week?
It's not really a shout out as much as a call out. Rafael Devers has been a big baby this whole off season about being moved from third base to DH, and he's sulking. And now the first 3 games, he's been up to bat, I think, 12 times, and he struck out 10 times. So he needs to get his head out of his ass and start playing some baseball. You're a professional. Be a professional.
I don't think the Yankees bats could even help him. You got to make contact for him to work.
Speaking of kids, I'll take this one. I'll let Brad close. Kind words were said about the Clark kids at a hockey banquet from a retiring coach. They had a older coach that it was his last season for the junior high school league out of Middleborough, Coach Howie, retiring after 45 seasons of coaching youth hockey. Had very, 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 very inspiring and nice words to say about both kids as teammates and players. Can't put it into words how nice it was to hear somebody else talk good about your children in a positive way from somebody that had that much experience on their way out the door from coaching something for that long. So, Coach Howie, big shout out. Good luck in your retirement. You'll be missed. Bradford, close out the show.
I want to shout out Lucas's. I don't know why that got a big echo. Lucas's baseball team. We have a bunch of 9-year-old fans. They come up to me at practice on Wednesday night. Hey, Coach Brad, Mr. Brad. Hey, this dude came up to me and was like, "Are you on the 1973 podcast?" Like whispering it. I was like, "Yeah, buddy, that's me." They like ran away giggling to his friends. I'm like, "Yeah, guys, that's him." So I'm gonna shout out 9U Rays. First of all, if you're watching this, turn it off. I'll make your
No,
own
don't turn
poll.
it off.
It's
We
not a
don't
kid
turn
show. It's not a kid show.
it show.
It's not a kid show, fellas. I'm gonna tell your parents, turn it off. Also, it's late. Go to bed. We have a game in the morning. Take your butts to bed. Get ready. Get a good night of sleep and drink your milk.
Also buy a shirt.
And buy, ask your parents to buy a shirt. Go do
Buy
that.
two shirts then if
Ask
you
your
get.
parents to buy a shirt, then go to bed and turn it off. Not a kid's show.
And then tell your parents to watch it.
You're
Yeah,
gonna
tell your
love
parents to watch.
when you're batting fifth in the lineup and your viewer number 23, 27, and 30 on the views. Tell them to watch the old ones. They can hear Coach Brad swear.
Yeah. We used to say the F word back in the day.
We'll close out the show. Great episode. So we'll see you all next weekend. Later, everyone.
Where the hell's Shaggy?